everybody. It's a great privilege to be a part of this exciting panel and to see these exciting results. This is a nostalgic opportunity for me because I've been connected with this program since 1986, and I've watched it over the years, and I'm a great admirer of all that's been accomplished through this small program that AID has. The U.S. Child Survival and Health Grants Program that AID funds through a central mechanism began in 1987, as Jim Rucka said. In the beginning, the program was providing $20 million a year to PBOs and NGOs. And the emphasis from the very beginning has been on improving the level of coverage of key proven child survival interventions. In the very beginning, and I remember this so well, the real focus at that time, 20 years ago, was on counting the numbers of services that people, the programs provided, so just numbers of activities. So moving from that to actual coverage in a population was a major step for programming in child health. But at that time as well, there was, they call these Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 indicators. So the Tier 1 indicators were the numbers of activities, Tier 2 indicators were the coverage. And then they had Tier 3, which was measurement and assessment of mortality impact. And I've been waiting for the program to move to Tier 3, but it still hasn't. But I think we're making some progress, and that's encouraging. This was a very exciting movement forward in programming when this got started, and it was not embraced by the PBO community with open arms, because I remember that very well myself. They required, in order to get funding for these, you had to go through an external review process. The decisions about who got funding was made by external reviewers who reviewed each of the proposals and graded them on technical criteria. Once funding was given, you had to go out and do a baseline coverage survey, and then on that basis you had to write a detailed implementation plan, which again underwent review by external people who were all knowledgeable about various parts of child survival programming. And then the programs were required to have a midterm evaluation and a final evaluation, which included a survey, as you've heard this morning. And the midterm and the final evaluations had to be conducted by an external person that was approved by AID. So built into the program from the very beginning was a very high quality of external technical support to strengthen the programs and to work in partnership with the programs as well. Other characteristics of the program, which have been consistent over 20 years now, and this required PBOs, NGOs to change their manner of operation, but it required the headquarters to have a staff person giving at least 25% time to support a specific project, and also there was a matching requirement for the PBO itself. But one of the great things about this was that through the support that AID has available to it, there was a lot of technical support that became readily available to the PBOs that otherwise they might not have had access to. And this was partly achieved through annual technical workshops that the program would provide for recipients of grants, and the headquarters people and many people from the field would come to these annual workshops. And as well, there was a focus on building up the organizational capacity of the PBOs, and AID has been a consistent supporter of that with its limited funding. Johns Hopkins University, Dr. Dory Storms, working in the Department of International Health, had an office that provided technical support and coordinated technical support from many people to the program, and now that function is being carried out by ORC Macro, and Jim Rucka, who started our presentation, works with that group. Over the 20 years that I've been associated with this, I've heard many comments from many people, both within AID and outside of AID, that this is one of AID's finest programs. The other thing that's been interesting to me over 20 years talking to people about this is how much influence this methodology has had on the PBOs and the NGOs themselves, and I'm sure this may come up in some of the discussion too, but forcing NGOs and PVOs into this methodology of a baseline assessment, a very detailed plan of action, a midterm evaluation, and a final evaluation, bringing in external people, proved to be so useful and so effective in strengthening programs that there are many PVOs that have expanded that methodology to other parts of their program and, in fact, into the entire organization. So the influence of this whole methodology has been something that I'd like to write an article about someday, but I haven't gotten around to that yet. And as a result of all of that, and obviously other factors have come into play as well, but I consider that this program over 2 decades has made a major impact on strengthening the capacity of U.S.-based NGOs to plan, manage, and improve the quality of their child survival programming. And it's gone far beyond the actual impact on those specific projects. And as a result of all of that, I think it's very clear to many of us that the reputation of the organizations that implement these programs, the quality of their work is widely recognized around the world. And I'm very proud of the fact, although I personally had nothing to do with this, but the PVOs who were involved in this type of activity mounted a very vigorous campaign when IMCI really moved into high gear that was being promoted by the World Health Organization. It was a totally facility-based operation, and it was so clear to all of the PVOs that this was totally inadequate that a whole movement arose independent of the WHO movement, which was community-based IMCI, and now it's recognized and accepted as an integral part of what IMCI is. And this, we're getting to the real point of my presentation here, which is that unfortunately, the funding for this program has been going down every year in real terms. And there are more organizations who are seeking funding from this program, and so the potential of obtaining funding as a PVO has declined remarkably. And as a result of this, in particular, particularly in view of the massive increases of funding for other types of work in global health, this has led to a sense of demoralization among many of these PVOs and NGOs who are struggling for resources and cannot maintain the current level of programming. And so here is a slide that the Global Health Council put out, which this is for the past 10 years, and this is the total amount of funding that USAID has had available to it for maternal and child health programs of all types within the Bureau. And as you see, the actual amounts, the numbers of dollars, which is the dark blue line, that's the actual amount of dollars that have been spent every year. But when it's adjusted for inflation, you see that the actual real value of the amount being provided has been going, it's dropped by 20% in the last 10 years. But also, you see that the amount of money that AID provides to this Child Survival and Health Grants Program has remained constant at about $17 million a year for the last decade. And I was a part of this 2 decades ago, and at that time when they started, they were giving $20 million a year. So that, if you played that out over the real value in today's dollars, it'd probably be worth $40 million. I haven't done that, but at some point I will. So at the same time, the number of children in high mortality countries over the past decade has grown by 13%. And I don't know how many of you know this, but for all of its programs, AID does not provide any funding in child survival for 21 of the highest mortality countries. So if you do the simple math, we can see that this very effective program receives 4% of the AID child survival and health program funding and only 1% of the total health funding within AID. We did a little survey in preparation for this presentation, and some of you in the room participated, and we appreciate that. But we had 15 important members of Corps who participated in our survey, and we asked them what their interest and capability was in expanding. And obviously, all organizations had a great interest in expanding their work, and they all felt that they were capable of expanding their work if funding became available. They felt they could expand to a median of five additional countries if there were a substantial increase in the number of grants made, and they felt that they could increase their program funding by 100% over a gradual period of time without sacrificing quality of program. These are some of the comments that came out, and I wanted to share them with you because I think they reflect the mood that exists, at least among a number of core members who receive child survival funding. I should say also that there are quite a few PVOs in this network who have a long history of excellence in results with this grant process, who have applied for new grants and have failed to receive a single grant for 3 or 4 years in a row now. And it cost about $10,000 to submit one of these things. So when you play this out, it means that organizations are losing staff and they're losing interest in being a part of this process just because of the physical reality of what they're dealing with. So I think, this reflects the feeling of some of these organizations. And I think the one that was most telling for me is the bottom one. We feel we're on a downward spiral, and that is very frustrating. I think all of us who are involved in programming know the cost of downscaling, letting staff go that have built up capacity, and then trying to build it up again. It's a major process, and in fact, that's what's happening in a number of the organizations. So, we'll go to the next one. And I thought this was a great comment, too. Due to stagnant child survival funding over the past 10 years, our organization decided to diversify into domestic programming, even though community-based child survival programming internationally has been our focus. Given the tremendous international health needs, it's a travesty that such a small amount of U.S. funds have been available for community-based child survival work. Sorry about the delay here, but it's the computer glitch. I've asked, over the years, I've asked many times to many people, why hasn't this program grown? And the typical response from people within AID has been, you should be happy that you didn't lose money in this process, because everybody else is losing money, so the fact that you keep with the same amount of money should be considered a great success. And I don't find that a very satisfying answer myself. The other common reason that's given is that at the higher policy levels within AID, PVOs and NGOs are seen as boutique organizations, serving small numbers of people for a very high cost and not really applicable to the larger scale of issues that have to be dealt with. And I view this, Jim shared with us this morning, I think, in his presentation, the fact that, you know, these are not expensive projects. They do serve large populations, and it is a chicken and the egg problem. How in the world can PVOs and NGOs really scale up if they don't have the resources to do it? So, I consider that at this moment a real paradox. We have a growing interest in global public health. There's a very marked increase in the political system and the government and global health issues. There's a growing interest in the public for this. But in general terms, funding for maternal and child health programs within our government have been stagnant. And then furthermore, the whole focus on community-based programming of services not only through NGOs, but I guess to a major extent through NGOs, this has been a very tiny part of what AID has put as a priority. And I think the question needs to be raised, how does investments in these types of activities compare to other investments that AID has made in other kinds of funding for health? And we need somebody to do a careful analysis of this, and it's not a simple question to answer, but there are a lot of people asking this question. And the track record and the accountability of many other types of health programs with AID within AID do not exist at anywhere near the same level as they do for this particular program. And so I'd just like to close with this question, which I think is a serious one. Why is now not the time for AID to make a stronger commitment to the Child Survival and Health Grants Program and increase its funding to U.S.-based PBOs and NGOs beyond the current 1% level of overall funding for health? Thank you.